guys.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, Real Sports Talk Radio is brought to you by Amazon.com. Visit the Back Sports page, Amazon store, by going to BackSportsPage.com. Do all your online shopping through us with our Amazon store. Go to our page, BackSportsPage.com. Click on the Amazon button and do your shopping from there. And when you do that, you know, we get a couple bucks. You guys get what you need. We get a little bit of a discount as well. Help us out by helping you out. Keep shopping through Amazon.com. And for now, we appreciate that. But for now, you just enjoy the show. All right, Real Sports Talk Radio on the air, like we are so many times. Newest episode of our Real Sports Talk Radio podcast brought to you over by our friends at 1-800-Flowers.com. Need a special gift for that special someone, whether it's your mother, your girlfriend, your mistress, anybody that's very special to you. You need a new gift or you need to get a gift for that special someone, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Use the promotional code BACKSPORTS. Get a few dollars off. And get yourself a great gift, the courtesy of us over here at BackSportsPage.com. My name is Randy Zelia. You can follow me on Twitter at RandyBSP. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm a guy who lives out by the swamp area of New Jersey. I'm a Devils fan who doesn't have a game to watch right now for the rest of the season. I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan who doesn't want to be in the playoffs. I'd rather be in the draft. Oh, wait, we don't have a draft pick, so that doesn't matter. I'm a Yankee fan who's not optimistic about this upcoming season. And most of all, I'm a New York Giants fan as well. And we're in the off season. So with all that being said, it is time for another one of our wonderful podcasts. First time in a while I've been on the air. Not really going too crazy tonight. Next show, we have a really, really cool special guest. I promise you guys are going to dig it. Finishing up the final details. Flying solo for a little while right now. Hoping to have some company right now. You can call in and be part of the show at 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. Join in the conversation with me. Have some fun. We'll talk a little bit of sports here for a little while, talking about the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. We're talking some of the NFL offseason. Man, Adrian Peterson's back. Jameis Winston being sued. Aaron Hernandez is officially going to jail for the rest of his life. We'll definitely discuss that a little bit. I'll give you my view on that. The New York Yankees and Major League Baseball getting started. We're rolling. I think, you know, baseball is going to be on the back burner now for a little while. New York Rangers hockey just getting started and getting rolling right now. And they are up 2-0 right now in the first period of game one. We don't really are not that topical as far as moment-by-moment stuff. But, hey, it's a big story here in New York that the Rangers are kicking butt, taking names early here. In the Stanley Cup playoffs. Islanders win last night. We'll dive into the NHL. That's right. I'm going to talk hockey. That's really weird. Not used to doing those types of things. And, you know, the big news for me, the NBA playoffs starting, going over the seeding, I'll give you my opinion. Who's going to win each series? Usually when I pick something, I'm usually wrong 99% of the time. I am wrong. So this will be fun. I think this is going to be a lot of fun for everybody to have, like, the picks that go wrong. That's definitely me. And I'm also going to have my just shut up moment. Also, from the business perspective, I'm going to give you my breakdown on how you market the pro sports industry. So that's just a couple different things we're going to be doing. I'm looking forward to doing some of this. Hopefully we'll have some special guests give us a call to join in. We'll have some fun. Hopefully we'll I'll get yelled at too. I like getting yelled at by people, so we can have some fun by doing that stuff as well. So where to start first? I think there's no place else to go but the NBA playoffs. The season just wrapped up. The Atlanta Hawks, no surprise to anybody, number one seed in the Eastern Conference. All the positioning got filled out last night. Not happy right now not happy that the Nets are in, me being a Nets fan. I just don't like the moves that they made. I believe that the Nets made too many bad decisions. They made too many bad pickups, and they made too many deals that I think that they regretted. They were like the Oklahoma City Thunder, young team, young players, developed through the draft, have a lot of salary cap space. They can just keep building and building and building, not worry about having to give guys a lot of cash until it was really, really necessary to. You know, like the Oklahoma City Thunder had to do a very, very tough decision on whether you're going to give Serge Ibaka, who can do a little bit of everything, block shots, rebound, post up, you know, he can play defense, or James Harden. Now, where James Harden wanted to be the guy, he wasn't going to be the guy in OKC with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Him going to Houston, ba-boom. So the Nets had that opportunity. They had draft picks. They had cap space. They had so much to do, and there was so much they could do there, and they didn't. And Billy King came in, took over for Rod Thorne, and Rod Thorne basically, who you know, made deals for Jason Kidd, made deals for Vince Carter, traded away Richard Jefferson, stockpiled draft pick, got themselves plenty of cap space for the time for the 2010 free agency period, and they just didn't do anything with it. It's not that they didn't try. Look, the Nets were there for LeBron James. They were getting ready to close out that deal. They wanted to make that deal. They wanted to find a way to make that work, and they couldn't. There was no way it was able to work getting some of those free agents. LeBron kept everybody waiting while other guys started signing. Carlos Boozer went to Chicago. He got paid a lot of money. Carlos Boozer got paid a lot of money. David Lee got a lot of money from the Golden State Warriors. Rudy Gay and Joe Johnson cashed in because of the landscape of the way free agency was. Guys like Rudy Gay and Joe Johnson ended up making a ton of money. And by that happening, the Nets ended up sort of losing out. And the minute that LeBron James signed with the Miami Heat, guys like Travis Outlaw and Anthony Morrow were the only options left for, at that point, the New Jersey Nets. And you can't blame Rod Thorne for doing what he had to do. You can't blame certain teams having to make certain decisions. And some teams were just left out in the cold. Like, again, OKC didn't make a lot of moves. They didn't have to. So it's a real tough, tough call. And I really feel pretty bad about the idea that the Nets are now put in a position where they have no first-round draft picks. They have no opportunities now to become a juggernaut with free agency. They don't have the opportunity to. Their salary cap is so messed up, so all over the place, that it's going to take, I think, a good 5-6 years before the Nets are going to be any type of juggernaut being able to change your team up. I know Billy King has been able to make moves. I think the move for Thaddeus Young was brilliant. He got rid of Kevin Garnett and his aging contract. You got a guy who wants to play, who has something to prove. Thaddeus Young puts his hard hat on, goes to the basket, does everything he has to do, and he plays very, very well. I think that the opportunity to move Deron Williams is going to come. It's going to happen. I just think that at this point, it's going to be very interesting to see if the Nets can make another move to move some of these guys and get them out of Brooklyn. This is not a victory for them. They needed to make it in. I think at this point, when do you say enough is enough? If you are the Nets, you don't want to be like the Knicks, where you're basically, you know, the Knicks are basically in a tight, in a tough spot as they are now. You know, going to have a lot of NBA salary to spend next year, but now they're not going to be able to do anything with it because the top free agents don't want to sign there anyway. So it's interesting time for the NBA, especially with the new TV contract. It's going to be very, very fun to watch all this. Whether you're going to be able to, if you're going to be able to sign with the Knicks, sign with the Nets, be able to do some of the different things that some of the other teams around the league are going to do. Now, some of the other big news around the NBA is Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder are now out of the playoff hunt. That's not going to be a good thing. I think it's a good, I'm sorry, it's a good thing for them. Imagine OKC winning the lottery. Oh, my God. Adding a top draft pick with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. That'd be amazing. I think it'd be a lot of fun. If you watch them do what they have to do like that, I think it'd be a lot of fun to watch them with a bunch of young players with a guy like Durant. They're not going to fire Scott Brooks. Let's stop it. ESPN reports these things. I'm just scratching my head going, why? Why do you do that? It doesn't make any sense. So, I'm not buying into that. I'm not buying into that whole shenanigan of they're going to fire the coaches and they make the playoffs. The team was ravaged by injuries. Let's be real, players. Let's just forget about not making moves just to make moves. The Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be in perfect shape. Durant needs to be there. Westbrook needs to be there. Cantor needs to be there. And if they can get themselves a good draft pick, or they could trade that draft pick away and get some more veteran players, which I don't think would be a bad thing either. It just matters where they end up. If they end up with the 13th pick, it's a whole other, you know, shenanigans of possible moves. I love that word, shenanigans. Just say it once. Say it once for yourselves. Shenanigans. I think that if you start looking at the playoff matchups now, let's break down the playoff matchups. Let's talk about it. Let's be real with it. And let's have some fun with it. Because my prognostication is usually right on the money with all these different things. As far as the NBA Eastern Conference, we'll start there. The Atlanta Hawks and the Brooklyn Nets. And we'll start with the way the schedule starts. The 12:30 game, and we'll break down the series as the schedule is. The way the schedule is set up, Washington, Toronto set this whole thing up, and they start the ball rolling at 12:30. Washington at Toronto. I think that the Wizards are they fell apart. I think losing Trevor Ariza was a very, very, very tough thing for them. I wasn't a huge fan of that move to start, so. You know, it wasn't a very, what's the word? Camaraderie, locker room guy, chemistry. There was a chemistry issue with having Trevor Ariza there and you're putting Paul Pierce in there. It didn't really work for me. So the Toronto Raptors flew underneath the radar. Neither of these teams are going into the NBA Finals. One of them has to go to the second round. I think the DeRozan-Bradley Beal matchup is going to be a lot of fun. I think that should be a lot of fun. I think that the play of John Wall. I think John Wall and Brandon Beal, great backup. Paul Pierce made them struggled with the front court with them. Nene and Gortat, very, very good. I like that. I don't know. I think it's going to be a very interesting series. Toronto. With Kyle Lowry and a couple other of the guys. I think it's a very interesting series. I don't like the big guys. I don't like the big guys in Toronto. That's been one of my big pet peeves with Toronto. There's nothing flashy about them. I think that's the part that bothers me about the Toronto Raptors. There's nothing really flashy about them. They're playing up in Canada, which not a lot of people are paying attention to. I think out of this is one of the few series that nobody's going to care about. I think this is going to be, I want to say maybe Toronto maybe wins this series. I've seen more Washington games than Toronto games. We might have a special guest calling in a few minutes. I just got a very interesting message in a few minutes. But, yeah, we're going to be joined by the Basketball Insider's own Bill Ingram. He'll break down the NBA with me. Real quick, 760-283-0846 if you want to join in. Special guest segment is brought to you by the NBAShop.com. Show support to your favorite NBA playoff teams and get playoff gear at NBAShop.com. When you go there and you check out, type in the keyword Back Sports Under Promotion, and you get a few dollars off your order. So therefore, and get yourself ready to wear some playoff gear. So definitely go to NBAShop.com, use the promotional code BACKSPORTS, and you get yourself some really cool playoff gear at a great price. I know our next guest, Bill Ingram from the Basketball Insiders, he's going to go to NBAShop.com, use the keyword BACKSPORTS in the promotional code. And because of me, he's going to get some really cool decked out Texas NBA gear. Bill Ingram, how are you tonight, my friend?
There's certainly lots to choose from this year because, again, we have all three Texas teams in the playoffs. And it's unfortunate when they play each other in the first round because it means somebody's out right away. But, man, this is going to be an exciting postseason for the NBA.
Yeah, and I was getting ready to start. So I was going to start breaking down the Eastern Conference first because the West is so unpredictable. So, like, the East is a little bit more predictable than the West is. And I started with Toronto and Washington, and I don't know how you feel about the Toronto Raptors, but I just look at them, and I don't see anything exciting about them. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but that's how I feel.
I've really been interested in them because Dwayne Casey is a friend of mine, and Kyle Lowry is a friend of mine, and so I want to see guys that I am, you know, that I'm good friends with. I love to see them be successful. DeMar DeRozan is a class act as well, and Valanciunas is a guy that Brian Colangelo was telling me about for a long time before they finally got him. So I do think there are interesting things about the Raptors, but, you know, no, they're not a team that grabs headlines, and they have been a little bit disappointing. I kind of thought they might be ready to join the upper echelon, and really when you consider they play in the East, they have not done. Even though their record is, you know, they're a top four team in the East, it's really not saying a lot. They were not dominant at all in a very weak conference. So, but I mean, I'm intrigued because Kyle Lowry is somebody who's very underrated. And, you know, John Wall has really stepped his game up and evolved over the last two seasons. So I think that will be an epic matchup right there. And then, I don't know, the Wizards, just on paper, they look incredibly good. They're deep. They have veterans. They have front court talent. They have back court talent. Then they go out on the court, and it's like, I thought the Paul Pierce acquisition was brilliant. I thought he would help them win key games. Not that he's going to give you 30 every night, but he's a very clutch player still. And it really looks like they kind of missed Trevor Ariza, to be honest with you. So these are two teams that I thought might be elite teams, and they've both been kind of maybe not even playoff teams in the West the way they've played this year.
Well, I said that right before you came on. I basically just said it's Paul Pierce, for some reason, hasn't fit with the team. It's a chemistry issue. Trevor Ariza was like a locker room guy. There's something I liked about, you know, Washington still. I just like that backcourt, and I like the fact that they have Gortat and Nene. The one thing that you said about Toronto, though, I think the thing that with me that they're lacking is they're missing the front court presence. I don't feel – I like what they have in Lowry. I think that they – the slasher they have in DeRozan, I just feel like they're still missing that inside presence. That,
well,
you know,
that's it. You know, the question was Valanciunas going to be that guy? And sometimes he is. He's not consistently, and he needs somebody beside him too. So
you're right.
Patrick Patterson, more of a really, has always been more of a three in my mind, and obviously I got to know him well when he was in Houston, and he's just not a banger. He's not the traditional power forward, and that is what Valanciunas needs next to him. You're right.
And with Washington, the other thing there too, when Beal scores over 15 points and is shooting around that 50% mark, here's a scary stat. The last 25 games, when he did do that, they won 70% of the time. That's a scary stat. So you really need Beal playing well.
Yeah, you do. That's an outstanding stat. And when you think about it, when you have two low post threats in Marching Gortat and Nene, that makes sense. You need your key 3-point shooter. knocking down his shots. Otherwise, they're going to collapse and dare him to shoot, and that usually result that's going to result in a loss if he's missing those shots.
Yeah, especially with that team. The second game, I'm looking at the NBA schedule, and that's how I'm breaking down the series. That's the order I've decided to go. It's a Western Conference game. Are you surprised that New Orleans and Golden State got the Saturday afternoon spot?
Not a primetime spot?
No,
I think it's indicative. I think it's indicative of the way the league thinks about that. The way the league, some of it has to do with it's going to be a West Coast game. You know, some of it has to do with that. But you, I guarantee you, if that was the Lakers instead of the Warriors, it'd be a 7 p.m. You know, that's going to be your primetime game. But it tells you what the league anticipates in terms of how many people are going to watch it outside of those home markets. The rest of the NBA is not excited about Anthony Davis the way they should be. And I think if Anthony Davis can get a couple of games in primetime before he's washed out by the Golden State Warriors, he can start to get that following. He's very much like Tim Duncan, ironically, since Dell Demps, their GM, is from the San Antonio system. They got a star who's very much like Duncan in that he's very quiet. He's not particularly good. The difference, Duncan doesn't want to talk, and Anthony Davis is willing but has nothing interesting to say a lot of times. So, you know, it, whatever the case, it means that he's not the popular player the way he should be given the way he plays. He's a phenomenal player. If you've not seen him this year, this kid, he may be the best front court player in the league next year. He's incredibly good. So I think it's indicative of that. Steph Curry is great with fans, great with the media. His game is incredible. He broke his own three-point record this year in the league. But the rest of the team, do you get excited about Andrew Bogut? Do you get excited about David Lee? Do you get excited, you know, Andre Iguodala, Harrison Barnes? These are not guys that have emerged as headline players. And so, yes, you're right. The NBA stuck them kind of in the pocket there in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, and I look at the games that are on, like, I don't know. I wouldn't expect like New Orleans and Golden State, which, by the way, is an ABC game, so it's on a primetime channel. But Saturday afternoon, and it doesn't matter what market you're in, you're not focusing.
On a Saturday afternoon at 2:30 in the spring. You're not home. Yeah. Let's be honest.
No, yeah. And what baffles me even more, the 7 o'clock game is Milwaukee and Chicago, which...
Well, and that's... The reason you have that, plain and simply, it doesn't matter about Milwaukee, although I am extremely impressed with what Milwaukee has done. When you consider the number of injuries, I mean, their assistant GM is a very good friend of mine, David Morway. He built the current Indiana Pacers. Larry Bird gets credit, but David built the team, and I've known David a long time, and I joked with him recently. When Brandon Jennings went down, I said, David, this season the injuries are chasing you guys so hard that guys who used to play for you are done for the year. And yet they made the playoffs. And it is the East. It's not as impressive as the West. But for that team to make the playoffs with so many guys down, quite a testament. So I do think it's interesting to see Milwaukee play. Jason Kidd has done a phenomenal job. John Hammond and David have done a phenomenal job putting those pieces together. Making that move for Michael Carter-Williams was great. And that's going to be a huge long-term deal. So I'm interested in Milwaukee, but I'm a purist. Most people... The average NBA fan is going to look at that and yawn over Milwaukee. The thing you're going to watch, though, no one wants to miss Derrick Rose.
Yeah, as much.
How good is he going to be?
Yeah, must-see TV. And one thing with Milwaukee, and this is a major difference. I take what Paul Pierce said in that interview with ESPN the magazine, what he said about Brooklyn. Only take it so far. I think when you have a team of veterans who's played against your head coach, you know, a guy like Garnett and Pierce and Joe Johnson, Darren Williams,
yeah,
all those guys who went to war against Jason Kidd.
Sure.
I think it's different when you have a bunch of kids who idolized Kidd and will listen to everything that he says. And that's what he has with the Bucks. And I think it's such a difference. And I think they believe in his system. And like you just said, they have a lot of injuries this year. Just imagine when Jabari Parker's back next year. That's gonna be scary. And one thing about the Bulls, and I think I forgot who said it because someone said it here on the East Coast, and they said it on air, and it's so true. The Bulls have set themselves in a situation where they have enough offense with guys like Jimmy Butler, with Pau Gasol, and they have like Aaron Brooks coming off the bench and putting the spark. Anything now you get from Derrick Rose is like icing on the cake. at this point.
Well, that's it. What you need is you need Derek to defend the way he can defend, and you need him to set up the way he can set up. That's what you need from Derek Rose. You no longer need him to give you 25 and 12. You need him to come out and give you 14 points, 12 points, but he needs to have 8 to 10 assists, and he needs to give you 25 to 30 minutes because Aaron Brooks has been phenomenal, and you have Kirk Heinrich as well. So it's not as if he needs to give you everything. But for them to be – they can get out of the first round if Derrick Rose has a horrible first round, but they can't get past the second round probably without Derrick Rose playing at a very high level. As you mentioned, Jimmy Butler's the star of the team now. What you hope for is that when your star goes down, someone emerges to be a factor who will then continue to be a factor when your star comes back. And Jimmy Butler has proven that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Now, but what you're hoping, if you're Chicago, is that now when you brought in Pau Gasol and sold him on, hey, here you are, you're the missing piece here, that now with, I mean, they've had a rash of injuries too, but now with Taj Gibson healthy, Kirk Heinrich healthy, Derrick Rose, maybe we'll see how healthy he is, and the front court in place. I mean, they have all the pieces too. I think when we think about Chicago, though, the reason we don't mention them in the same breath with Cleveland and maybe Atlanta is because we're all just waiting for the next injury.
Yeah, and that's not the way that Bulls want to play. And like, this also might be Thibodeau's final hurrah this playoff run. I like Tibbs. I think Tibbs is an excellent coach. It makes you wonder with the beating down of the players, the old school mentality. You know, someone made a comment the other day that they still should be cutting the NBA game schedule down. When Jordan played and those other guys played, they played 82 games and everybody played. There wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I think there's a lot of complaining going around, and it's still in Chicago too. Like, there's people in Chicago sitting there saying, oh, got to rest these guys, be doing what the Spurs are doing. You have a bunch of new guys, a bunch of new faces. Like, I personally knew that Doug McDermott wasn't going to be playing. You knew as much as I do. Doug McDermott wasn't going to be playing much this year for Chicago.
No. I love when people compare teams to the Spurs, because there has never been, ever, there has never been a team like this San Antonio Spurs team that has been so good for so long. This is a unique situation. So when you talk about, you know, and you're right, they do say, well, do it like the Spurs do it. Well, yeah, the difference is the Spurs have so much corporate knowledge, if you will, because they've been around for so long. Popovich calls a timeout and lets the players handle it. He calls timeout and stands over on the side with his coaches and lets the players talk about what's going on. He doesn't have to tell them. They know. No other team in the league has that. There's no other team in the NBA where the coach can call a timeout and walk away and be like, they've got it, don't worry.
Yeah.
Or not call a timeout. How many times is there a run and you think any team is, oh, it's going to be time for a timeout, and Pop's like, nope, y'all fix it. Y'all got us into this mess. Y'all go fix it. And they do. Very unique situation.
What's funny, too, and I watched that Pelican game, that last game of the season, and you never felt, until the game is over, you never felt that the Spurs were out of it.
No, because the Pelicans came out with that burst, you know, that we've got to make the playoffs burst, and the Spurs are in the halftime locker room going, yeah, okay, y'all ready? Okay, let's go do this.
Duncan goes, all right, good, we spotted him 52. And let's just come out and dominate them now.
Like a practice session. It's like, okay, we're going to spot the other team 30, and then let's see what happens in the second half. And they still almost beat them. You know, Pelican fans were just not even on the edge of their seats. They were in midair, like hovering at the TV going,
You
this game was 30 seconds longer. We're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say, you talk about a fan base that's just like, we're taking the attitude of, we're happy to be here. That's the Pelican fan base. Meanwhile,
yeah.
In OKC, they're just like, all right, well, you know, there's still that 2% chance we can get the number one pick.
Yeah. Well, because it's a totally different situation. The Pelicans, it's amazing. This is huge for them to make the playoffs. It's huge for Anthony Davis. It's huge for Tyreek Evans, who's played so well at point guard after nobody knew what to do with him in Sacramento. And now Drew Holiday's getting healthy just the right time. He's back, and he'll be ready to play. And for that franchise to make the playoffs is so huge. For the Thunder, it's like, well, if we'd have made it, how far are we going to get without KD and Bob and Serge Ibaka, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
you're better off almost missing.
and getting everybody back next year healthy. But now, you know, this is the one thing that nobody talks about, and it's not going to happen, but it's just fun to talk about. What would happen if the Thunder somehow did win the lottery, and then they get the number one pick? Like, that would certainly make things really interesting.
Well, it would be incredible. I mean, you put a number one pick. I wonder if they got it, though. If you got the number one pick, although they're probably going to be a center, you're probably drafting a center. There's so many quality big men. I don't know. All those mock drafts are up. But, boy, the temptation would be to grab if you're Oklahoma City playing in the small market, the temptation would be to make a deal for that pick and land. You know, you'd almost be tempted to do something like that. But, yeah, if you draft them and keep them, you draft a super – but, see, you could address your small forward – or not small forward, your shooting guard. You could address – it's tough. It'd be a great position. Man, Sam Presti would love to have that problem.
Yeah, that's a problem a lot of teams in the league would love to have. A team like the Knicks would have to just keep the pick. But, well, we'll talk about
that. Yeah, and they still wouldn't be good.
Yeah, well,
they could have the top pick, and they still wouldn't be good.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. You know, it's and the funny part, too, is like I was by Madison Square Garden yesterday, and you saw the Pistons. I see the Pistons walking into the arena, and the only thing you hear them talking about, I'm by that team for a good 5 minutes, and not one of them talked about playing the Knicks last night. Oh, what are you doing during the summer? I don't know. When do you want to get together for workouts? I don't know. What do you want to do? I said, you guys interested in playing the Knicks? No.
If you're Carmelo, if you're Carmelo Anthony, how do you and the Bulls want you, like, in the worst way? And they're not going to pay you max, but they're going to pay you a heck of a lot of money. And you're going to play with Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson and Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose, and you know you're going to make the playoffs and maybe contend. How do you choose? I mean, I know his wife was very adamant about not wanting to leave the media circus in New York. But, man, at some point, don't you want to win more than just get paid a couple million more dollars a year to add to the other money you can't possibly spend? I mean, it's really indicative. George Karl's a friend of mine, and he said after they traded Iverson and after Iverson and Carmelo were gone, and he said, I'd rather have 12 guys and no superstar than those two stars because you've got to have a team that wants to win more than anything. And those guys, that's not the first thing on their minds. And that Carmelo proved it.
I'll tell you,
run a triangle. That's the other thing. Run a triangle with Carmelo Anthony. There have only been two times in the history of the world that the triangle has worked at the pro level. And in both cases, you had the best player on the planet to bail it out when it didn't work. And they were incredibly high basketball IQ players, which Carmelo is not. So it just, the whole thing, Phil Jackson, the whole thing just cracked me up. That you're going to run a triangle with Carmelo Anthony and the pieces that were there. Like, okay, all right, let's set the egg timer. How long till that fails?
Well, here's the thing, though. I don't know if you saw the story on ESPN.com. Melo spoke with the media for the first time here in a couple of weeks. And he's like, there's times that I regret making that decision. And the first thing everyone said in the media was, duh. because, look, at the end of the day, look, when he said, I said in the beginning of the season, I think you and I spoke right before the season started, and I think you asked me my opinion if I thought the Knicks were going to make the playoffs, and I said no. And look, you watch the calamity as it's going on at the beginning of the season, and then Phil Jackson the last couple weeks, I think maybe he's either smoking that weed too hard, like, or, you know, maybe like, you know, something's going on because he starts making comments like, we need to draft a center or get a center like Tyson Chandler. But you had Tyson Chandler, and you traded
away.
Yeah,
that worked really well.
Yeah.
You gave him away. Like,
yeah, you,
okay.
I don't get it, and it baffles me, but here nor there, we tend to get off of topic every time you and I talk. the Dallas Mavericks and the Houston Rockets, teams that you're around quite a bit. I think James Harden is an amazing talent. I like Dwight Howard when he plays, but I think this is the one matchup where I think the lower seed could knock out the upper seed. I don't have faith in Houston. I know they're good, but then you play a lot of bad teams and teams that might just have an off night or resting guys, aka the Spurs, I think that the Rockets can be that team that gets upset because, you know, Dallas is like 30 seconds away from putting this whole thing together, and Rondo and Carlisle having a moment over a glass of wine, then all of a sudden they're just all on the same page. And I think Houston, I just don't have faith in Houston. I got to get your thoughts on this series.
Well, I don't either. And number one, Dwight Howard, you know, when they signed him, people in Houston, and I got so much of this, oh, it's like Akeem is here. I'm like, either you people have never seen Akeem Olajuwon play basketball, or you've never seen Dwight Howard play. Because the only resemblance between these two people is they're both about 7 feet tall. Beyond that, there is no resemblance. Akeem, if you stood between him and a win, you were going down, like down. Dwight, he's just, if he can get some dunks and get some touches and pick up a couple girls' numbers from the people sitting on the sideline, he's, that's a pretty good game for him. And if they won, okay. And if not, well, he'll take a shirt off for the Chinese media in the locker room and flex his pecs, and it's still a good night for him. Akeem, if they lost, I mean, it was like the world ended. It was that important. It was that serious. The business of basketball, the business of winning was all that mattered. And he did everything. I mean, that guy, what did he not do? Dwight is very one-dimensional. You throw him a lob, he'll catch it and dunk it. But if you give him the ball and say, Dwight, go create a basket for us, it's a turnover. I mean, that's just what's happening. So what you come down to is James Harden. And yes, James has had an amazing season, and he may be good enough to get them past Dallas, because I'll be honest with you, Dallas is much better on paper than they are on the court. And a big part of it, and you're absolutely right, Rajon Rondo, he's a head case, which is why the Celtics were trying to trade him for 2 years. And when they finally did, they got young players and draft picks. Like, nothing. They didn't get. And this is a guy who was considered a superstar not too long ago when he had that amazing first-round series, one of the greatest first-round series ever. He was phenomenal. Oh, Rondo, Rondo, Rondo. But Rondo's a head case, and the Mavericks have already learned that. He's had, you know, he's been fined by the team and conduct detrimental and that kind of thing. But you know what? You're right. If anybody can make something out of him, it's Carlisle. Does it take a glass of wine? Do they need to go, I don't know what? But if that happens between now and the start of that series, Dallas is much better on paper.
Yeah.
Houston, I mean, James Harden, he's done a lot of stuff this year with guys I didn't think he could compete with.
Well, you know what? You know what's funny, though? If you look at that lineup, you look at that position that they have, they play so much better when Devin Harris and Barrera are running that point guard position.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Because they're unpredictable. And they can shoot.
And
which Rondo
Harris
can.
Is so quick. And Harris is so quick. And I, you know, I can tell you from watching him when he played for the Nets all those years, he still has a step. And you look at the rest of that lineup with Chandler, Nowitzki, Parsons, and Monta Ellis, with the exception of Rondo at the point guard position, that team, that's a finals team. That is a finals team. And it's a shame that one guy right now is causing it. And Cuban won't put up with it. He'll keep everybody else. And he'll just say, we'll just part ways with Rondo. And, you know, because not for nothing. And also, Stoudemire is a very good fit off the bench for them.
He's been phenomenal for Dallas. He really has.
Yeah. And he wants to stay there. And I know this because, you know, we were down there. And, yeah, he wants to stay there with them. So
absolutely. He knows. He knows when he's in a good situation. And he can play spot minutes off the bench, you know, kind of like Charlie Villanueva. He doesn't need to be starting anywhere. He needs to be a contributor off the bench where you're just happy if he does something good. And if he doesn't, there's another guy waiting for his minutes, and there's no pressure. And he's played well at times, too. So, yeah, that's the thing. Dallas has all these pieces, but they haven't put them together yet.
And the same thing with Richard Jefferson. He's contributing with them as well. And so
that's absolutely right. All these guys that were expected to be something they're not on teams before. I mean, hell, Richard Jefferson, when he got to San Antonio, we all thought that was, wow, all the Spurs got Richard Jefferson, and he never showed up. But now he's in a situation where, oh, you're not playing well. Oh, well, go sit down. We've got six other guys that can play your position sitting over there. Just go, Monte, come on back in the game. Or we'll go two guard with Devin and JJ. Go, hey, whatever. And he's flourished.
Yeah, and it just doesn't make any sense. Now, you know, here's a question for you, because I also hear your little one in the background. That means I don't have much more time with you. my question is, Sunday is like the main day for the playoff games. How is Portland versus Memphis in the main 8 o'clock spot on the Sunday night? How is that not on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I think because, number one, Damian Lillard is an incredibly exciting player to watch. And Memphis, to me, man, if they were in the East, no one would ever beat them. I mean, they've got the front court stack. Mike Conley, maybe the most underrated point guard in the league. And Vince Carter was a great addition last offseason. And Jeff Green was an incredible acquisition as Boston was continuing to blow things up. And I just think Memphis, if they didn't have to play San Antonio, if they could just not have to play San Antonio, I could pick Memphis to win the Western Conference. I really could, because nobody has the front court talent. Nobody has the depth except San Antonio. And so I like Memphis a lot, but I think you have the marquee players. You have Marc Gasol, who's going to draw the international, you know, Spanish basketball is crazy huge. You're going to draw that international audience. You're going to draw, you know, Zach Randolph has always been a popular player, and Vince Carter still is a very popular player. So there are enough popular players, and Damian Lillard, you know, that guy is prime time. So I can see that. I see why you pit, though I do think the way Portland limped, and part of it was injuries, but the way they limped into the playoffs, I think they're roadkill. They're dead on arrival. But I can see that. I see where you've got enough star power that's an interesting, certainly if Portland can play the way they were playing a few weeks ago when they looked pretty darn good, that could be a tough first-round matchup. I could see that.
Well, and especially with Aldridge. When Aldridge is on, I can't find another top three.
Yeah, he's incredible, but I don't know how healthy he is. But, yeah, LaMarcus. And the thing about LaMarcus, he off the court, he's just as amazing as he is on the court. The guy, I mean, he's just one of those people like Kevin Durant, like Kyrie Irving. I'm a big fan of the guys who are not only amazing on the court, but take their responsibilities off the court seriously. And I love that right now in the NBA, we have quite a few guys who really get that. And so there, LaMarcus is always going to be. I don't know how healthy he is. He was banged up, and it's tough. If you're going to be banged up, and then you're going against that front court, that's a lot to ask.
Yeah, and then the other two series right before that one, you have Cleveland and Boston and Atlanta and Brooklyn. I think the only thing you ask for those two series is just end it quickly.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because neither of those teams has any business being. I was really, really hoping Indiana would get in simply because Paul George is healthy, and until that last game last night, they had won every game since he came back. And they're a two or three, I'd say two seed in the East when he's healthy. And so if he'd gotten in, at least you could say legitimately, that's another playoff team, as opposed to it's the default, Brooklyn got in. Okay.
Yeah, well,
those
Brooklyn
two teams, I mean, I can't imagine either Cleveland or Atlanta losing a first-round game. I can't even comprehend how they could do that.
Well, the funny thing is, if you look at Brooklyn's lineup, there's no reason why they shouldn't have been competing against Toronto in the division. But when you listen to the comments that Paul Pierce made about them and how the team is unmotivated and the guys just didn't want it, you look at the team that they have and you're like, man, they should be so much better than they are. And then you're like, well, maybe Paul Pierce is telling the truth here a little bit. It's like,
I think so. And what I wrote about that team in the team preview last year, when they had just put that whole, you know, what they were calling a super team together, I said, the problem is when you look at this roster, there are a lot of guys who consider themselves to be superstars who are getting paid like superstars. Which one of them is your closer? You have a team of guys and you have no closer. Kevin Garnett was a closer, but he has not been for a long time. Darren Williams was never a closer. Joe Johnson was never a closer. They paid him more than Kobe. But he was never a closer when it mattered most. He always disappeared. Brook Lopez? Really? I don't know. Can he stay healthy for more than four or five games in a row? You know, like, on paper, it looks amazing, but God, I was like, you spent a lot of money to lose a lot of games.
Well, you have a bunch,
and now they've blown it all up.
You have a bunch of number two or three players. I always say number two players.
Right.
Meaning, like, they're not. There's no number one. You have a bunch of number twos and number threes. But like you just said, there's no number one. They want
Gerald Wallace. Gerald Wallace is a great number two guy. Joe Johnson, great number two guy. Darren Williams, great number two guy. But somebody has to be the number one guy, and nobody was.
And not only that, but Darren, like I said this before, Billy King took all of Rod Thurman's hard work of freeing up cap space and gaining draft picks and blew it up just like he did in Philadelphia. And then he was fired from Philadelphia. And how long did it take Philadelphia to really recover from all that damage that Billy King did? And now the Nets are going through the same thing.
Yep, they are. And look, Philly still hasn't recovered. Although I'm not quite sure what they're doing. Sam Hinkie's a friend of mine too. But I honestly scratch my head because I think you give Michael Carter Williams to Jason Kidd. Michael Carter Williams, who is a Kidd clone. Jason Kidd was doing backflips when they got Michael Carter Williams.
Oh yeah.
You lost a lot of games to get him. Like you had to lose a lot of games to get Michael Carter Williams. And now you just sort of gave him away. At some point, this team is going to try to win some games, right? I mean, number one picks are nice, but at some point you do need to win some games. It's a head scratcher. Philly's still a mess. I don't know how long it'll take them to recover.
Let me ask you a question. I heard a rumor up here. Remember, I'm in the East Coast. I'm in Jersey, right outside the aura of New York City. The owner of the Philadelphia 76ers also owns the New Jersey Devils, which also owned the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. There was some sort of rumor about him wanting to take the Sixers out of Philadelphia. Any truth to that? There's a bunch of stories up here about that.
Well, the thing is, it's one thing to want to do it, just like Clay Bennett wanted to do what he did with the Sonics. It's one thing to want to do it. Is the league going to vote for an historic franchise like the Philadelphia 76ers to move to a venue where you already have two prominent teams, or, you know, it's prominent, they're not really prominent anymore, but two extremely popular teams, the Nets and the Knicks, and you're going to move a third team into that area?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the talk of moving the Sonics to Anaheim, and the Board of Governors was not going to approve that because you already have the Lakers and Clippers there. That's too much. You need to spread it a little bit out, and especially when it's the Philadelphia 76ers, you know, we're not talking about a relatively new NBA team like Miami or something. You're talking about an historic franchise. I would, even if the owner wanted to do that, you know, owners want to do a lot of things, but they have to get league approval. They have to get approval of the rest of the owners. They have to get league approval. I would be shocked if the Sixers were allowed to leave. And if they were allowed to leave, I'd be shocked if it were to a place like that where you've already got two teams right there.
Right. And that thing is, though, you know, the NBA, they like to have a little bit of controversy, and B, they like having things in their home base. I know right now there's four cities they want to put teams in. They still want to put another one in Seattle. There's one in, I know St. Louis wants a team.
Yep. St. Louis. And they have it's not called Kiel Center anymore, but they have that beautiful arena for the Blues that, is perfect for basketball.
And then
St. Louis fans, I mean, let's just be honest here. If you've ever, I went to college in St. Louis. Oh, my Lord. Talk about rabid fans of any sporting event, college or pro. That team would be sold out for as long as you'd want to sell advance tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be it. Like, that would be one of the, that would be like Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
I don't see the same enthusiasm, obviously, as like when OKC first got there the first year they made the playoffs. You remember that crowd was standing up the whole entire time until the first basket was made?
Perfect, though. You had just gotten Kevin Durant. He was going to turn into the best player in the league. I mean, that was so perfect. That's not something that happens. You know, you move Philly and you don't have Kevin Durant. You know, that popularity wears off fairly quickly if you're not winning games.
And not only that, but those fans will be standing up for a long time throughout that first quarter.
Yeah, they really would.
And the last series we have is San Antonio and the Clippers. And I think it's going to be the best series of the first round, honestly. I got to tell you, if the Spurs would have ended up in the 2 or the 3 spot, I would say slam dunk return to the NBA Finals, but now they have to pull what we like to call the 1995 Houston Rockets on everybody. doing everything on the road, which they might be able to do, but that's going to be so difficult.
Well, I don't know. Honestly, the Spurs play better on the road a lot of times than they do at home. That rodeo road trip is always when they get their second wind and get ready for the playoffs. There was a year they were playing Dallas. I forget which. It was fairly recently. And Pop had them staying in a hotel in San Antonio because they played so much better on the road than they did at home. The thing with San Antonio, I mean, unlike that Rockets team, San Antonio was in the second seed 2 days ago. it's not, this Western Conference is totally different than that one was. And what you have to remember is the Spurs are so deep, and their second unit guys have played major important minutes. Patty Mills and Boris Diaw have played as many minutes, and often more minutes, than Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. And so when those guys, when the second unit comes on the floor, they have so much experience playing together, and they have been in so many game-deciding situations together as a unit on the floor. San Antonio's second unit could beat most teams' first unit more nights than not. And so you have this luxury that you can keep your starters rested while other teams, the usual thing to do is to shorten the bench when the playoffs start, and your starters play the 40-plus minutes because this is when it all matters. The Spurs have not been doing that, and they're not going to do that. They're going to come at you with fresh legs every 4 to 5 minutes. Fresh legs are going to step in off their bench. And all of them are experienced, incredibly high IQ players who have been around Popovich and have been on that team, and they know exactly what they're supposed to do and exactly how they're supposed to do it. That's something no other team in the Western Conference has coming off their bench. Not to mention the greatest power forward of all time. There's no question. I mean, to my mind, there's not even a question. Greatest power forward of all time, Tim Duncan. There's not even a, well, what about, no, that's it. You have Tony Parker, certainly a top five point guard in the league, and there are nights where he's MVP. Manu Ginobili is still going to get it done, not every night, but he's going to be a factor. And then you have Kawhi Leonard, who's emerging as perhaps their next superstar. I mean, the guy looks amazing. He's finally healthy. So the Spurs are healthy at the right time. They're incredibly deep. They're incredibly talented. They're two guys starting who are supposed to be coming off somebody's bench. J.J. Redick and Matt Barnes have no business. They're not starters. Those are second unit guys. When they go to the bench, you get somebody who should be in the D-League coming on the court.
Exactly.
I don't see it. I don't see. I mean, Chris Paul is amazing, and he should be in the discussion with MVP just as much as Harden and Curry, in my opinion. DeAndre Jordan, phenomenal defender. And Blake Griffin, Blake Griffin might be the current best power forward in the league, maybe. But do they have the supporting cast and the big moment mentality? Can they outlast San Antonio? I just don't see it. I think San Antonio takes this. I think it's a lot shorter series than I'm seeing people predict.
I think it'll go five games. I think it'll be five games Spurs.
That's exactly what I pick. I pick Spurs in five.
let's really quick, because I know you got to go. Let's quickly, really quick, go down the series and just give a number. Obviously, I think you and I both know, both feel that Atlanta and Cleveland are going to sweep Atlanta. Brooklyn and Boston. I mean, so both those will be sweeps. Chicago, Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee might get two games.
But I don't know. Derrick Rose is healthy. I don't think they get a game. I think I hate to say it, but I think Milwaukee gets swept.
Okay, and then the other Eastern Conference series.
Washington, Toronto. I think that's the hard fought. I think that's the one that could go six, maybe seven games. I'm excited to see that series. Honestly, the rest of them I don't even need to watch, but I am interested to see Toronto and Washington go head to head for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on a limb and say Washington in six.
Okay.
And Western Conference. Now this is where it gets fun. Let's go Golden State, New Orleans. New Orleans is new to the game. I'm gonna go Golden State. I'm gonna go Golden State in six. I think New Orleans might be able to sneak one or two in there.
I'm gonna say five because I think Golden State. They're just if Drew Holiday was fully healthy, maybe. But I think Golden State, they're so deep, they can create so many mismatch problems that the Pelicans aren't quite equipped to answer. I'm going to go Golden State in five.
Okay. Houston and Dallas, like I said, I don't trust them, and I think if there's if Houston gets out of this round, they're not getting out of the next one. But I would like
no,
to, I'm
no
going to go
chance.
On. I'm going to be the guy who goes the other way. I'm going to go Dallas in seven.
I was thinking Dallas seven. It's either Houston six or Dallas seven. And my brain tells me Dallas in seven. That's my brain. My gut, every time I think the Rockets don't have the right talent, they certainly don't have a good coach. I think, but then James Harden does something like this year he started playing defense, for example. I can't do it. I can't, the way the Mavs have not quite put it together, I have to say Houston in six. I don't think Dallas can do it. My brain, my eyes, look at the matchups, head-to-head. The Rockets only have one real advantage, because I think Tyson Chandler can cancel out Dwight Howard. The Rockets only have one clear advantage, James Harden. Every other position, depth, the whole thing, coaching, certainly. The Mavs have an advantage. But I don't know. This Mavs team has been questionable, and I think it's going to be Houston. And that's my gut. My head is screaming, no, it's clearly Dallas. But I think it's going to be Houston.
And then I think the only series that left for us to pick was we picked San Antonio and the Clippers already. Portland and Memphis. I think it's Memphis in six. I think that's
absolutely. I do think Damian Lillard gets you two dramatic wins. But I do think with those guys banged up, Portland banged up, and Memphis looking just lethal with plenty of depth and playoff experience, I think you're right. I think Memphis, I don't see Portland getting swept. I think they're going to put up a fight, but I think Memphis takes it in six.
Bill Ingram from the Basketball Insiders, thanks for giving me some time tonight. It was definitely a lot of fun. I hope you had some fun with us, too.
Always a pleasure. Anytime.
All right, boss. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Later.
We go from Bill Ingram of the Basketball Insiders towards the end of our show here. We're going to welcome our newest edition of Back Sports Radio, Drill Sports Talk Radio, to Edwin. Edwin, help me pronounce your last name. I'm sorry we're getting on here a little late. I know you've been waiting so patiently. We ended up having a late-minute addition to the show, Bill Ingram from the BasketballInsiders.com. Edwin, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh.
Edwin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, excellent. So, Edwin, what do you agree with, disagree with some of our NBA predictions?
No, not really. I know he had a lot of great insight to say, and then most of the series picks I had agreed with myself, and just as you picked Memphis over Portland, I agree with that one as well. So, you know, seems like you guys are spot on.
Yeah, I think all the series are going to be very fun. I think, like we just said before, Cleveland and Boston and Brooklyn and Atlanta are going to be two teams. It's going to be men playing with children. I just think it's going to be really a lot of fun. Playoffs usually are. Edwin, really quick, I know this is a little new to you. For those who don't know, Edwin is joining us fresh here. Tell us a little about you. I know tell us about who your teams are. What do you like? What are you about when it comes to sports?
I'm a huge sports fan. I've been a sports fan basically since out the womb. My dad just told me a story a few weeks ago how he remembers. I went to his school from grades 4 through 8, and when I was in fourth grade, my dad taught at the school that. I just mentioned that, but an instructor of mine saw my dad in the hallway one day when I was 9 years old, and he had told my dad, when Edwin talks sports, it's like speaking sports with an adult, and I was 9 years old, and my dad just, you know, informed me of that, and now I'm almost 30, so that was great to hear. I'm from Los Angeles. I majored in sports management. And I've worked for two NFL teams, and the last 3.5 years I spent as a full-time sports writer at Bleacher Report. And me being from Los Angeles, most of my favorite teams outside of the Rams as far as the NFL reside in Los Angeles. So I'm a huge sports guy, and I watch sports basically all of my spare time. So, yeah.
For those of you who download the show, the live show has ended. Now we're into the bonus area of the podcast/web show. Real Sports Talk Radio. We're here with our new friend, Edwin. Edwin, now I've got to ask you real quick. We're going to jump around some topics here for a few minutes, and let's put you to the test. Yesterday, the news broke about Aaron Hernandez is going to be spending the rest of his life in prison. I wanted to get your take on it. How do you feel about the whole situation? Do you feel that the court case was handled right with the fact that the jury didn't have a murder weapon, they didn't have a witness, and they didn't have a motive, but they still found him guilty with the first degree?
I agree with that. There was a lot of other signs that still pointed to him at least being involved in the murder, and him, you know, if he didn't commit the crime, then he was there. And as much as his own defense admitted that he witnessed the murder, and that right there was a crime right there. I mean, you're standing there and you see somebody get killed and you have something to with it, then you're liable to bring up charges for yourself. And I'm still interested to see what becomes of the circumstances as far as the other two murders that he allegedly at least had a hand in as well. But it's an unfortunate story, and I remember when he was at Florida hearing stories about him being in trouble and fighting and things like that. So when the news first broke 2 years ago that he was at least involved in this, it was not surprising to me. And just to see him spend the rest of his life in jail is unfortunate, but that's the law.
My opinion on the whole entire matter, I think that goodbye to bad rubbish. I think that's the best way of saying it. Like, at the end of the day, if the timeline serves it right, if they're actually accurate with the timeline, where he went out and did this heinous crime, came home, they showed him with a gun in his hand. And then he's outside in the pool with the two guys he did this with, in the pool with kids and everything else like that. No real conscious, morally just inept to everything that's going on. This guy doesn't deserve to be on the street. And he's still being tried for another murder.
Exactly.
So I'm not sad about it. Like I said, it's probably be the last time we ever talk about Aaron Hernandez on this show. But it's newsworthy, so I think it's topical. Real quick, as you can tell, like I told you before, I'm an NBA guy, so that's, you know, our segment went really long. We found out about 8:20 that Bill was going to be coming on with us, or 8:15, and Bill and I just, you know, stretched it out.
No problem.
The other thing is, it's amazing when Major League Baseball starts. It's one of the biggest things in the world that it's the beginning of the season. And then after the second week of the season, you don't really hear too much about Major League Baseball until the NBA Finals are over. It's really the truth. And my question to you, do Major League Baseball, and this is not just with Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, do they need to cut down the amount of games? And I asked this question, but before you give me a yes or no answer, the reason why I ask this question is very simple. We have watched in the past some of the best Iron Men in these sports compete in these games, like in this amount of games. You know what I mean?
Right.
Jordan and those 72 win Bulls, everybody played 82 unless they were like had an injury. Like, you saw 81 games, 82, and so on and so forth. All those guys played it. So, your opinion, do they need to cut down on games?
As far as does Major League Baseball does, or does the NBA need to shorten its season?
So I'll let you pick the sport. How's that?
The thing about Major League Baseball is that's a game full of purists. And any type of change or anything like that, when it is applied to the MLB, is met with at least a good amount of resistance because it's the old pastime, it's things like that. So shortening the season, I highly doubt that'll happen. And it's such a game full of tradition where it's the springtime, the sun is out, it's opening day, it's always around spring break, so they have afternoon games, you know, are heavy in the first week or so in the season. So shortening up that and starting to say, you know, in May, or that's not happening. And then if you want to shorten it up, you know, in the fall, then that's not happening because everybody loves the fall classic and the World Series being played and out in the cold a little bit and things like that. So that's not happening. The only change as far as to the schedule for the NBA I see is there, I think they probably will soon enough. It seems like Adam Silver is a really progressive commissioner. And it seems like he will indeed, within these next few years, kind of space out the season a little bit. Not as much as in length, but I think as far as the scheduling, there probably won't be that many back-to-backs anymore. And I see that happening. But as far as the major schedule alterations to Major League Baseball, no, I don't.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how Adam Silver finishes off the game. Real quick, this is basically our what we like to call our final point. Our final point is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers.com. Get that little special someone in your life, a special gift. Edwin can get his wife, girlfriend, mistress, something, mother. And we can do anything you want to go, but you can do it by going to 1-800-Flowers.com. Great assortment of gifts, flowers, teddy bears, anything you need, 1-800-Flowers.com. Use the promotional code BACKSPORTS. Get yourself a little bit, a couple dollars off, and you'll be helping this program stay free of charge on download. So go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Final point for me. Edwin, we'll do a little final point with you first. Why don't you tell us what's on your mind, pro sports? What's the first thing that comes to your mind this week with the world of sports that's in your brain?
As always, with this time, it being the middle of April, it's getting on time for the NFL draft. And to see, you know, that there's still talk and we're still not entirely sure about who will be the first overall pick. Last week, it was reported by Ron Jaworski that he was saying that hitters were saying that Mariota was going one when the recent word has been Jameis Winston going one. So that leads me to the big story right now is saying, where does this draft start? Will this draft indeed start with the first overall pick, or is Winston a shoo-in, and when does this draft start? Will it start at two? Or we'll start at three. So there's still a lot of question marks at the top of the NFL draft, and it's in the middle of April when scouts and teams are getting into crunch time with their boards.
Well, that's an excellent final point. Now, for me, mine's a little bit more sentimental. People are going to call me a wimp, but that's okay. I'll just beat them up anyway. With that being said, my final point is I always encourage everyone to make a sports bucket list of things that you want to do, but don't become obsessive. Obviously, the word fan is short for fanatic. This year, I'm going to, for one game of the NFL season, I will not be the opinionated media person that I'm always known to be. For one game and one game only this year of the 16 games of the NFL season with the New York Giants, I'm going to go back to being a fan and sit in the stands. But it will not be at the MetLife Stadium, home of the New York Giants. It will be actually out at Dolphin Stadium with the Miami Dolphins versus the New York Giants while I watch a game as a fan with my father. The one thing that I've never got to do with my father is sit at an NFL game rooting on the team that we both love to watch every Sunday. He watches them down in Florida. I watch him up here in the New York, New Jersey area. And I'm quite looking forward to being able to scratch off the number one thing on my bucket list, being able to go watch an NFL game with my father. That's it for this week's Real Sports Talk Radio. Edwin, thank you so much for jumping on. I apologize
thank you.
Again. I apologize publicly that it took us so long to get to you. But as you can tell, Bill Ingram and I both got into a little bit of a groove, and we had to ride that out as long as we could. So,
no worries.
So, So for Bill Ingram of the Basketball Insiders, don't forget to go to backsportspage.com. You can follow me, Randy Zelia, on Twitter at RandyBSP. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm also all over backsportspage.com. Check me out on Facebook as well. So until we're back again, I can't promise next week, but I do know the next show we do have a very, very, very special, interesting guest. For Edwin, my name is Randy Zelia with BackSportsPage.com and Real Sports Talk Radio. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, and thanks for downloading.